Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Insufferable Bastards podcast.
Hello, Shuli.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
The only time anybody watches this podcast is when we talk about Stuttering John.
Hi, this is Stuttering John Melendez from the Howard Stern Show.
It's all Long Island to me.
The second she saw the face, she said, "Oh, yeah, that was him."
Oh, you're the guy that played fake clips of me. Yes, I remember now.
It's a stupid name, but maybe it's worth listening to. How the fuck do I know? I got my own problems. I got hemorrhoids and shit. When I wipe my ass, it looks like a chocolate-covered cherry. All right. Kiki.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Insufferable Bastards podcast. My name is Carlos Danger for the purposes of this broadcast. And I'm not joined by my co-host, Mr. Brian Spears. Hello, hello. I don't know where the hell he is. He was here. He was having internet problems. Now he's not here. There's only one guy that knows less about technology than Ray DeVito or Kevin Brennan, and it's my co-host, Mr. Brian Spears. But this is going to be whatever. It's just going to be me. OJ wouldn't do it. Stevie Lou is on the lam. I asked Liam McEnany, the Irish guy. He's busy. Who else? All kinds of people cannot do it. I thought about asking Husey. I should have done that, but he's out in Ireland. But so we're going to be talking about Roadhouse, maybe just me. It's the remake, right? Not really the original one. Starring Jake Gyllenhaal, directed by Doug Liman. I will tell you right off the bat, spoilers galore in this here review. Came out about a week ago. I wanted to go live and just talk about a movie for a few minutes and not necessarily talk about that asshole Ray DeVito. Let's see. Here's Brian. Hey, welcome back.
Hello, hello.
All right, we'll see if this works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We'll talk about Ray DeVito, I think, the second part of the podcast, maybe about 7:30. I don't see us going more than an hour. But this is special effects makeup artist, Mr. Brian Spears. Hello, hello, Brian. So I guess the big picture take on Roadhouse, released a week ago on Amazon Prime. There was even controversy about it being released in that manner, but I didn't give a fuck.
I know for a fact that was made up.
What? Wait a second. All right, so let's explain the controversy. The controversy was that Doug Liman at the last second issued, there was a story, I think, in the Hollywood Reporter or something like that, complaining that it wasn't going in theaters because he made this great movie, possibly his best.
It was
better than Swingers or Go, and you're saying it was always going to Prime.
Yeah.
You have some, you have, is that
I have DeVito, a source that I can't name.
A source that you can't, was it someone connected to the production?
Yes. In this movie, you've seen him.
All right, I won't say anything else. So I was saying, I only named two guys, right, that are connected. Doug Liman and Jake Gyllenhaal. And that's, on purpose because I think you can stop right there when it comes to the cast and crew of this movie. Because Gyllenhaal is, in every scene of this movie, for better or worse. And then Doug Liman, in a way, is in every scene of this movie, because he introduced that new kung fu fighting stuff where it's a blend of CGI. And I think, Brian, you can correct me if I'm wrong, as you're somebody in the industry.
We couldn't get Stevie Lou on, so I guess I'll handle all the industry questions.
My favorite thing about Ray's fight the other night when it was Stevie Lou. Well, first it was Stevie Lou versus Quadfather, and then it was Stevie Lou versus Liam.
Yeah.
Or nothing says the hackverse like criticizing a man who's going to college. The pursuit of higher education in the hackverse is a thing to be frowned upon. That, but Stevie wasn't in his right head. I've been exchanging emails or texts with him.
I'll be nice then. All right, so go on.
But the special effects, the fight stuff seems to be a brand new thing, according to all the media coverage, unless that's fake as well.
I mean, it jostled me, so I took attention to it. It might be, one of the few things I took from this movie.
It definitely looks different. Here's a quick thing from a making of that I pulled from Behind the Scenes Film Is Now. That's a weirdly named YouTube channel. Behind the Scenes Film Is Now. But it talks about this weird combination of CGI and practical effects and all that they encompassed or they used.
Looking at hundreds of videos of real fights, bar fights, and watching what it looks like to take a real hit. How could we put that in the movie and still let me work the next day and have a face that's usable?
And so we came up with a whole new technique, which is an ABCD pass, which is like four shots blended together. First, I have the person throw the punch. The second pass, I have the person have a big red pad in their hand in the same timing, hit as hard as they can. The third pass, the hand hitting the pad for real. And then the final pass is just a blank background pass with nothing in the foreground, so you can blend all those shots together.
So that's that. Now, my question to you, I mean, they're really hyping up this new technique that the director used for these brawls. Is this going to usher in some new era in action movies, sort of the way The Matrix had everyone dodging bullets for a while, and then
for
the
sure.
Raid.
And I will, like I said, I was very into it in this movie. Watch it again, because I did watch this again because it was a while ago since I saw it and we were going to do this. It does, you know, the second time around, you like anticipate it. It's going to get overused. It was cool in this movie. When we see it 12 more times,
It'll
be like Matrix was, how the Matrix was so like, whoa. And then every time someone was getting shot, they were bending over in every other movie.
One thing was I was trying to pull clips today, and like, and we have one playing in the background. And so if you watch some of this movie on slow motion, it's like watching GTA Online. Well, like, yeah. Look at this.
this is the scene.
I mean, you can see that photo, right, Brian?
Yes, I can totally see it.
So this is the scene after Conor McGregor says hello to the band and starts it's when he first arrives at the roadhouse and starts beating people up. And this is a CGI. I assume this is CGI, that both characters, right? And he screams bar fight. I mean, look how terrible that looks. Unless I'm wrong, does that look like CGI to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what he's basically saying. They're overlaying images. So it's probably the actor's face again, but it's all motion blurred.
And this guy right here, that's definitely a GTA character. Michael, I think his name is.
What was that?
I think the guy's name is Michael from GTA. That's who's makes that cameo. But there's also scenes where, like, what's his name? Jake Gyllenhaal. I'll keep mispronouncing his name. He makes, like, weird faces during some of the fight scenes. And you can clearly see it's, like, a moment, like a half a frame of total cartoon.
It's just in the same way that the Fast and the Furious has done something to car chases now, where a car can do anything.
Ruined
now
it.
These fight scenes will be able to do anything, which I don't necessarily know is a good thing.
And then I guess the plot, we should talk a little bit about the plot of whatever this movie is called, Roadhouse 2024. Jake Gyllenhaal is a guy named L. Wood Dalton, an emotionally troubled former UFC fighter who gets hired by a bar owner to clean up a troubled bar in the Florida Keys, or what I assume to be the Florida Keys. Along the way, he meets a doctor. He meets her policeman dad, a local bad guy, a funny bad guy minion, some random kid in a bookstore, her dad, and then eventually Conor McGregor. That's essentially the plot, and he has to fight a bunch.
But not enough fights.
I know.
Bigger set pieces. They're not like fights. They're just huge, like, cannonball run brawls. But they're there's not enough fighting in this.
I did ask our podcasting partner, Kevin Brennan, of the Misery Loves Company podcast, for his thoughts. He couldn't appear here tonight, but he did share with us a video.
Thoughts on a new Roadhouse? I don't even know. I don't even know what you're saying.
Roadhouse reboot?
And is that a restaurant?
Texas Roadhouse, maybe he's talking about. Are they opening a new location?
Carlos Danger, you, come on, be better. This feels like a Friday.
Ow, god damn it. So let's talk about some of the positives of Roadhouse 2024. But before I do that, I see we have like 71 chats going on. Let's see some of this. I see some Franklin Scheckler talk. Oh, wait, people are just talking to each other. Who shot Chris? I don't know. I don't know who that suspect is in that crime. I apologize. Ah, you can't change your name now, Carlos. Oh, that's right. There are plenty of scenes of Jake being stoic yet approachable. Yeah, that's a great point. Let's get into some of the positives first. And I'll say that Conor McGregor is outstanding. Conor McGregor, I don't know why it takes him an hour or why the filmmakers decided to wait 1 hour before he arrives. He's got one of the weirdest, most outlandish, and maybe a little Ray DeVito-ish intros for a character that I've seen in a long time. It's been pointed out up, down, left, right, sideways. Conor McGregor's character feels like he wanders in from the 1989 Roadhouse. And I agree with that 1,000%. Here's just one little clip. I think I fucked up the end of this, but this is one of... I think he's only in the movie for... I saw something on YouTube. It was like a minute of total dialogue or something like that. I could be I could be totally wrong, but it's not a huge part. And it takes an hour, 1 hour for him to show up.
I can't see what this is about. Where the fuck is everyone?
Everybody. Sorry, I cut out that little part there. But, I mean, he's great.
Yeah.
Am I insane to like Conor McGregor in this?
Well, I think at the time, you wait for so much to happen. And there is no bad guy in this movie. I mean, we'll talk about that later. But there is no bad guy in this movie. So he does bring what we've waited for, you know, the whole
it's
movie.
It's Roadhouse, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's Roadhouse. Yeah.
And it's all just, they're all just like, and that video, actually, the title that I just played, somebody clipped it and called it Conor McGregor is like a PS2 non-player dude, whatever the hell that's called. But he works. I mean, is it one of the greatest performances ever? No.
No, but if he was surrounded by a bunch of guys like him, it would have worked. Like the original movie, I mean, well, let's be honest, it's nothing great. It was, you know, a testosterone cocaine fueled movie. Like it was
surprising.
All this,
it was surprising, yeah, even for its time.
But it had Terry Funk. It had like stuntman actors in it that
Sam
were just
Elliott.
There to get yeah, just to get beat up.
They were great supporting characters, yeah. And they were, yeah, like Terry Funk right out of central casting as a bad guy. This, yeah, you're right. This movie has none of that.
Look, it's not even a Roadhouse. It's like a little Calypso bar in the Palm Beach, you know, in the
Florida Keys. It's got to be the least. I mean, to have Nick Swartzen wander in, it's like the least intimidating Roadhouse ever. Down to like the other bouncers, the plus size bartender. It's like that first Roadhouse was much grittier. But again, I think, I don't know if Conor McGregor should ever act again. I don't know if he'll ever get another part, but it is worth it just for his goofy smile. He does the entire movie. He's a walking cartoon.
And he's literally in a different movie. That's right. The other part. Like he's just playing himself. It seems like he's going way out there.
And then we're blessed to have his press tour going on.
Input and Mayor and Jake, as I said, is a consummate professional.
I don't even know what's going on there. Like what causes you to act that way? I know, like, when the Dabbleverse first started coming around, everybody was on Adderall. Is that an Adderall? I don't know what that is. Man, you know. I have no idea. The other positive I have, Brian, is, I mean, the CGI kind of worked for me. Something.
Like I think that was really good.
It felt, it felt different. It kind of had not exactly a roller coaster feel to it, but it was definitely movement there.
But you feel jolted. You feel there's a couple hits when they because they're doing steady cam and these shots, so the camera's moving all around, and there's a couple when they're behind your head and you're taking those hits, like you feel it, the camera pulls you back. Like I will give it all that. It's
there's
just
a brutality
all the
to it.
It's all the stuff in the middle, like this, like I just wanted to see people fight.
Right. There's a sort of love story in there. The whole background when they go into.
Well, that's all. Yeah. Like it's Dalton's little kid. I mean, come on. Like, where the hell did that come from?
Everybody nowadays has to have a motivation. There has to be a reason for being the way
they padded. I think you used it, like, not to steal your line, but this movie is very padded.
with characters.
Yeah,
extra
for
characters.
No reason at all. When
the
you, all you
the
want
owner
is
the
bad
bartender.
Guys.
Say it again.
All you want is bad guys.
Right. You need. Yeah, there's no opposite. You don't know. He's just wandering through. Dalton, the Jake Gyllenhaal character, just wanders through this movie and occasionally beats somebody up. Did you have any other positives? So I called that. I said the CGI kind of works for me. Conor McGregor should get an Oscar.
Yeah, no, that would be it for me.
Then in terms of the negatives, I'd say the biggest one for me is that Jake Gyllenhaal is an absolute bore.
Yeah.
The guy just doesn't work for me.
I don't think this movie works, like, in the sense that, like, he's so miscast. I know Patrick Swayze was sort of an A-list guy when he did his movie. It's just
although it was before Ghost. It was before Ghost.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, this is a B movie. It needs like a B movie, like guy.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was thinking if I could like recast this movie, if there was ever a way to do that, Vince freaking Vaughn.
Cell Block. Right.
Now, I mean, he's on like Curb Your Enthusiasm right now. But yeah, there's the.
No,
what
that's
is
a
called?
Great. Something
Brawl
like
in
or a
Cell
Frank
Block.
Grillo. You know, like somebody that. I don't know.
Has some kind of B movie cachet,
yeah.
Whatever it's
called.
Yeah,
like, you know, if there was a Charles Bronson back now, like, but there isn't. But
you get Jake Gyllenhaal. I think Maggie Gyllenhaal would have been more believable.
And, you know, listen, he's also
Ronda Rousey was originally supposed to be this part. It was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, that would have been maybe a little bit better.
Well, at least I don't know if it was this exact one, but there was definitely talk of remaking with her. But I think Vince Vaughn already played this character, and it is in that great movie Brawl in Cell Block 99. Yeah.
Do what I say or I'll kill him.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, dude.
I mean, come on, that's Dalton.
I know, but I read that script, talked to that director, and I pretty much argued over that shot. He wanted it done differently. And then when they actually made the movie, it's the same way I would have done the shot. So it's like, oh, my God.
He was dreaming too big, and then they made
doable.
And who directed that? Is that Zoller? Is that
Zoller? Yeah, Zoller, something like that. Yeah, Craig S. Something.
That
Zeller.
And right. He did that. Did he in Bone Tomahawk? Is that
he
him?
Did Bone Tomahawk? Yeah, and then he did that other good one,
Dragged Across Concrete, which was the best movie that came out that year. So, but I just thought that character, that's Dalton. You know, he's a grizzled old dude. We don't need to know, spoiler, that he killed somebody in MMA. None of that stuff's matters. See, that was just licensing, I guess, to get the UFC involved. It didn't matter at all.
Yes, but also it made no sense to the movie. And also it just, I don't know, it gave him way too much story. And then they just kept trying to make him this good guy. Like,
but he was just bland.
Yeah, and he didn't. All he did was that weird smile. He just like he kept his money in a tackle box. Like it was just he was so
I didn't notice
weird.
That.
Oh yeah, like it was just so dumb. This movie was really, really dumb. And then he goes on a killing spree, which makes no
for
sense.
No reason.
At all.
So this I wanted to take a minute because you know we have to compare it to the 89 Roadhouse, which is, I mean, we're both 50, right? So this was a movie that came out when we were like freshmen in high school. It was a big deal. But this is this guy, Chris Stuckman. He's sort of a known movie critic for like the I guess the younger people or the hipper people, the people that aren't in the hackverse, I guess. And he talks about this movie, and I just wanted to get his take and react to what he's saying.
Really bad. Roger Ebert was one of the very few critics who actually said the film had some merit to it. And in his almost prophetic review, he mentioned the film might be so bad that it's good. And that description attached itself to that movie for years until so many fans embraced the movie and people of that generation shared it with their kids and their other family members and all of their friends that people just think it's good now. People love the original Roadhouse. I've seen it. I think it's a ton of fun. Patrick Swayze punches a whole lot of people in the face. And that film came out in an era where movies embraced their own silliness and viewed that as a positive thing. There are so many movies of the 80s and 90s that feel gleefully absurd, but they're completely sincere in being so. And Doug Liman's Roadhouse, absolutely 100%, is trying to recapture that vibe.
I think... He could not be more wrong, in my opinion, that this new Roadhouse tries to capture that 80s vibe that I think the original Roadhouse sort of accidentally had. Who knows how that movie got made, because it's pretty outrageous. I just think Stuckman's dead wrong there. The remake pales by comparison to that original. I mean, the remake has no balls.
It's just not fun.
Right, it's nowhere near the insanity of that first one. The violence, I mean, okay, the CGI brutality is pretty good, but I'd say the original is more violent. Like you said, there's a cocaine-fueled sleaziness of that original.
Yes.
And I remember as a kid seeing that and being like, what is this movie? I haven't seen a movie like this before. What does this dude Patrick Swayze?
And maybe that's because like Sons of Anarchy ruined bikers and made them sexy, but like there was something like grungy about the Roadhouse. You know, and then Sam Elliott shows up looking like a dirtbag. Like,
there's no Sam Elliott character in this movie whatsoever. Replaced
by three different women that don't even get the same.
They ruined a guy's movie. Yeah. That's what they did. They ruined a guy's movie. It's like there's no Dean Martin to John Wayne in Rio Bravo and all those. Well, this goes back like generations, and Roadhouse has none of it.
And they gave
a bland main character and a half deserted love interest, but he doesn't even commit to that.
That's the other thing. He doesn't commit to anything, so it's not even like anything's happening.
You're just frozen. The craziest look on your face.
A Western, and the only thing that makes this a Western, the new one, is the little girl at the bookstore.
They keep saying it. It
tells you it's a Western. In no way is this a Western.
No. I think if you want a movie closer in spirit, at least to that original Roadhouse, you've mentioned it already, but I would say that movie Boss Level from 2020, directed by Joe Carnahan, the guy that did Narc a million years ago, and Cop Shop, both with Frank Grillo. Cop Shop and that, who is it? Gerard Depardieu, whoever the English guy or whatever the hell his name is.
Oh, yeah, Gerard Butler.
Yeah, like a true B actor.
That's the thing. They're all just, they're not. They know they're B movies. They're not trying to elevate it. Like this, they're trying to elevate it and make it like, oh, he has a heart of like he's worried about his, like the whole time he's depressed. This guy is suicidal.
Right. Yeah. He's
and then he turns into Terminator. He kills one guy and says, now I'm on a killing spree. Like
why'd it take so long?
And also a guy that you barely know. Like that was the other problem. There's no, I mean, I know you, we talked a little bit before, so I don't want to steal your thing. There is no bad guy in this.
No. And the main bad guy is a trust fund kid whose father is actually the bad guy, but he's off in jail somewhere and made no sense.
Yeah, you never see him. Like, is that Ben Gazzara from the first one? Like that was like Ben Gazzara was such a unique, it was in that era of
it's weird that Ben Gazzara is in the original, you know, this is like the serious actor from the 70s who then went on to do anything for a paycheck.
And supposedly loved this movie, loved making that movie.
Oh, did he? Why? Yeah.
I'm sure, dude, it was all the shenanigans out backstage.
Another thing, and like not to be totally perverted, the new Roadhouse is completely sexless. It's asexual.
Yes.
And there's this guy brought this up, this guy, Sonny Bunch, right? He used to write for like the Washington Post. He does The Bulwark, right? The wildest difference between the old Roadhouse and the new Roadhouse is the absolutely staggering amount of casual nudity in the original. It's a sleazy movie. It's a sleazy 80s action film. That was like, you know, a major studio release. Just sequence after sequence designed to introduce casual nudity.
There's a stunt scene with a naked woman. That's how.
The past is really a foreign country. And then he brings up like this one scene. I remember seeing this in kid being like shocked. Like, what? How is this in the movie? Like, I see people arguing about plot points and the fight choreography. And no one is really talking about how in the original, there was just a scene where a waitress has sex just to advance the plot, just out of the blue. And that's like, it's like this thing, right? And I actually pulled, do you remember? I don't know if you remember this, how out of the blue this is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby. Oh, yeah. I've been thinking about you.
Steve.
Yo, Steve. I think also, like, that original, I mean, it was made maybe as a date movie, but they knew just a bunch of let me finish. It was made, you know, it's a date movie. It was really just for a bunch of teenage boys, like, to watch, you know, fights and, you know, hey, yeah, get to see some boobs. This one, I don't know who it's made for.
Right.
That's the other thing. It
Amazon Prime. It's totally in the middle.
Like, you know, your bikers are all like, you know, they're not bikers. Like, this looks like it's at a tourist spot. Like, why do you even need a roadhouse bouncer? It's a drunk people on vacation.
Right. And the other thing I wanted to play real quickly, this again is the Bulwark and it's Sonny Bunch and some other people where they talk about this. This is some female talking about, I guess this is Alyssa Rosenberg from the Washington Post talking about the sexless Roadhouse remake.
That are at all sort of charming or interesting. Like the movie is, you know, to take Sonny's point up, and I think we'll come back to this in the bonus episode, like kind of anti-sexual in the sense that like Dalton has this sort of light romance with, you know, the like the doctor character, again, the doctor character. But he's like, oh, I didn't know this was a date, right? Like Patrick Swayze's like, oh yeah, like I'm gonna give it to you good. And Jake Gyllenhaal's like,
whoa,
I don't know, man. Like maybe I should go home. And it's a weird vibe, especially because the two actors actually like that's one of the better on-screen kisses I've seen this year.
I don't know what she's talking about with the great on-screen kiss, but she hits the nail on the head how this movie pulls its punches in every way possible.
Also, as a fat dude, it was not necessary to see all of these Jake Gyllenhaal shirtless. Like he is in every frame. It's almost like, you know, that's
too much female gaze.
Yeah.
It was demeaning, right? So, and then I just had, like, we talked about, like, in the first one, I just have a couple more negatives. Ben Gazzara was a silly bad guy in the first film. The heavy in this film, the bad guy, is the least intimidating bad guy I've ever seen. He's a trust fund baby, as we said. Then I had just, like, random plot questions about this Roadhouse remake. Like, when there's a scene where we get introduced to the bookstore people.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't figure out, like, then one of the bad dudes shows up who just looks like, yes, an extra from Sons of Anarchy, right? Did he beat up the girl? Did he just, like, why were they bruised? That's all cut out of the movie.
That's
it seems
all
like
cut out, yeah.
It was hard to tell, like, and then that's what motivates Jake Gyllenhaal to turn back into this killing machine, right?
It's not it's not the money. It's not the nurse he might be hooking up with, or the doctor, I'm sorry. And then it's the little girl who gave him a book. Like it was like, get me out of here. I was
tree
so
book.
My big negative though is there's no Jeff Healey. There's no one band.
Oh, the music was off. I mean, you go back and you watch the original, the music's cheesy there.
But it with the blind works dude. In the movie.
I guess
like,
so.
Couldn't they have made one of the girls, the musician that it's knew him? Like, place. Come on, like make it all like.
But
that
yeah,
was part of the deal. It was that guy knew the mystique of Dalton. Like, that's all you needed, you know?
And again, like, bringing in McGregor, I think the movie's, like, chief. You have Conor McGregor, right? And to bring him, to wait an hour for him to show up, there's no, like, you know, what is it, Revenge of the Dragon, when Chuck Norris takes on Bruce Lee at the end of it. There's no, even Gary Busey in the original Lethal Weapon, which is, like, the same. I think it came out, what, 2 years before the original Roadhouse? This movie has just... None of it. So how many stars would you give this? Let's say 4 is the highest. How many stars would you give this thing?
I mean, maybe a 1.
1 star. I think I'd give it 2.
Okay.
So let's see. Let's go see the chat right here. I don't know. There's not much going on. We got a Baba Booey in there.
I did see one guy did correct us that, let me see where it is. He mentioned Gerard Butler is... not English, but Scottish.
Gotcha. Thank you. Kip Smith says Jake's number 2 bouncer is a better actor. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal doesn't pull this off. We got Chris Mack saying, I just randomly hate that. Mondo Creepy. Hello there, Mondo Creepy. Check out Mondo Creepy's YouTube page. The remake has a shocking lack of Terry Funk. Absolutely. Soviet Skunk, who's a gay or drunk, Ray or Carlos? Absolutely Ray DeVito, sir or ma'am. Absolutely.
I can attest to that.
Ray DeVito. Oh, here's a great comment. Kip Smith, the more I think about it, this movie screams Tom Hardy turned this down. Yeah, yeah.
He would have been way better, yeah.
We got JT saying an RIP Swayze. Oh, I see some. I didn't even see this. Sorry about that. We have a few super chats. Flat Cat Jessica for $1.99. The Works. needs more Carlos and Orange. Oh, the Works. Oh, I get it. The Works needs more Carlos and the Orange. Waiver with $1.99. Super sticker. Dick fits well for $1.99 with the David Hasselhoff. Looking like he's in an 80s Satanist band there. Watch the Critical Drinkers review of it. Did they say it sucks too? Because it's just not a good movie. Going back to the comments real fast. Sorry about that. Got to go to the live. But yeah. So I definitely would give it 2 stars and you would give it 1. You say it sucks. I say it's mediocre. Somebody mentioned Ray DeVito. Ray DeVito does have the link to this here podcast. I kind of got into it with Ray a little bit. I did try to, I've been trying to go back on his stream a little bit, because he left me as a team member in his stream yard. And I guess he can't figure out how to throw me off. So I got a runny nose. So I go in there and I'm not trying to, hey, look, speak of the devil. He must have been there. Oh, look. See, Ray doesn't want us to talk about him without him there. He wants to be here to defend himself. But I don't know if I'm going to let him in. I guess I'll let him in. What? Oh, my God. Ray DeVito.
Whoa. What's up? How you doing, Spears? Good seeing you, buddy.
How you doing?
All right.
So Brian was the host of the sleepover. Everyone thinks it was my house. It was actually Brian's house.
Where the sleepover, cabin in the woods.
Yeah. The sleepover took place, and Ray didn't leave until like 4 o'clock the next day.
5:30. I woke up 5:30 in the afternoon.
But Ray, you know what I wanted to say? Where are you right now? I guess
He did ask if he'd take a monster shit, and that is a quote.
What would you have done if Brian said, no, you can't take a monster shit in my home, sir?
No, it wasn't so much asking permission. I was just letting it be known. Like, hey, guys, you guys got to do anything? Now is the time to do it.
I wasn't there. Don't pull me into this. I had left. I left before the sun came up.
It was just more so like, hey, man, if I'm going to be in here a good 10 minutes. I'm going to just take care of everything. That's it. It was more courtesy. I thought it was being nice.
You were polite, Ray. I'm not giving you a hard time. I thought it was hilarious that you asked.
I'm done with Ray. Where are you right now?
I'm about to do a comedy show across the street.
Where?
I'm in Dundee, Michigan. I don't know the name of it.
Of the comedy club? You don't know where you're performing?
No, I think it's a banquet hall. I think it's a private event or something. I'm getting paid pretty good.
They pay pretty good?
Yeah, I'm getting paid pretty good for it. It's $500. I got to do 30 minutes to get $500. So.
And you're drinking? Go on sober, for God's sakes.
I'm just having one beer.
And you've got Ray Has Hackamania coming up.
Hey, wrong promo code. Promo code Ray. What are you doing?
May 31st to June 2nd in Las Vegas. I got to ask you a question, though.
That's the wrong promo code, dude. R-A-Y promo code.
Why do I got to show yours?
Okay.
Is that how you're getting paid? You have to sell promo codes?
Yeah. Come on, man.
So the promo code graphic, it screams to me they could just move it up if Patrick throws you off. Are you concerned about that at all? It looks like it's positioned right. So they have to redo this poster. It's just a matter of clicking and dragging. Do you think you'll make it to Hackamania?
I plan on it. I plan on going to Vegas.
How often do you consult with Melton about it?
He emailed me this morning. So
what'd he say?
You don't talk. That's the other thing too. Like, you know how many times I've had comedy gigs that I got to consult about it all the time? Like, no, that's not how they work. I do it. I promote it just like I do all my events. And then we go from there, buddy.
What do you mean? Are you saying you think Patrick is leaning on you too much to promote Hackamania?
No, I just don't put words in my mouth. I didn't say that. I'm promoting it. Hackamania.com, promo code Ray.
If Kevin Brennan sent you the link tonight, assuming he goes live, would you go on with Kevin Brennan?
If I'm in my hotel room in time, sure.
Have you talked to Kevin off the air since this brouhaha?
I've texted him a couple times. He was looking for a producer. No, he just yelled back at me. But then again, he always did that, even when he liked me.
He said that Adam was getting paid something like $39,000 a year. Of course, Adam has been with him for like a generation. So we can't assume that would be the starting pay. But did you immediately see dollar signs? Were you kicking yourself in the ass for getting thrown off right before that money became available in the MLC budget?
No, no, man. I mean, I didn't get in this for money. So it is what it is. It's nice to make money, but yeah.
Let's see if people have questions for you in the chat. I'm seeing a lot of, I don't even know what any of this means. We got that. We got a so greedy from Jeff Closer. Jenta, you got to unblock Jenta. She asked me on Twitter.
Where do I have you blocked, Jenta?
In your YouTube chat.
Can you do it?
No.
I thought you have access to all my stuff.
No, you blocked her on your own personal. You got to go into your, come on, you can figure this out. I can't do it.
I will. I'll figure it out.
Oh, there's a bunch of things. Love Chatter says you travel 5 hours round trip and bald, leaking tires. Are the tires bald as well?
No, they're not bald. They're brand new. That's why having the whole tire upsets me.
The what?
I don't know what that means. What's
Those are tomatoes.
Oh. Okay.
That's an ancient thing. Girl One, Ray still has us blocked. That's from like your first episode.
What? That's not true. Guru One, tell me how to unblock these people. I'll unblock them.
Jason Bardo X is sniping. Yeah, one thing I wanted to ask you though, I was surprised last night when you said I got carried out of Hackamania, not Hackamania, DabbleCon drunk. And then what I wanted to show you, I think Franklin Scheckler was making a point. Because Franklin Scheckler went to Twitter and said, I don't have the tweet, I wish I had pulled it up. But he said, basically, Ray reveals Carlos Danger has a major drinking problem, arrest record. But then he said, Ray DeVito said he got carried out of Rochester.
Why I was saying that last night? Because you were in my stream. I wanted you to jump on. I'm joking.
But the chatters were funnier because they were like, well, that would take a flatbed truck. That's what somebody said, a flatbed truck, which I put up there even though it was a free chat. But my point is, I think Franklin Scheckler in tweeting that was pointing out that then if you went after him for saying, oh, he's doxing Carlos Danger, he's saying these things about Carlos Danger, you're the one that introduces this to the public. I think that was his point, because it goes back to that stripper thing where you introduced the Buffalo stripper against her will to the Hackverse, and then you were really angry that like Franklin Scheckler went around and posted stuff about her.
No,
you know what I mean?
She was weird how people messaged her. She's like, why are these people messaging me because I was at your comedy show? And I'm like, then I felt like, oh, man, I can't even like allow someone to take a picture with me without the entire internet. And it's not like the entire internet cares.
Hey, Ray wasn't there, was he?
Ray wasn't where?
At that event.
No, he was making a joke.
He was making a joke.
Yeah, but Ray's new thing is, let's be honest, every Sunday, me and OJ have been going on at like 7 in the morning and basically saying, Ray's got to get a job. Yeah, we're grumpy. So we worry about Ray, and Ray's getting pissed at that. So his new thing is to make up stuff about me and OJ disguised as humor, because it's passive aggressive. He's pissed at us for what we're saying. And I get it. It's fair.
I was mad at OJ because I was supposed to hang out with him on St. Patrick's Day.
Right, but you exaggerate.
Then he was like surprised when I called him. Like, oh, you thought I was serious? It's like, yeah, dude. You said we're hanging out. What's up?
Right, but it was like Sunday. I mean, we went through all this. My point being, I see what you're doing, Ray. I see what you're doing.
Hey, I'm a mastermind.
Peter Sky Parker for $2. Ray's brand new tires are at least a year old. Your former manager.
He is correct. They're not so much new anymore. They're a year old. So he is correct. But they started leaking a year ago.
Ray wishes OJ well, not good. Yeah, you really. I think Chad's right when you're like, Chad says like Ray is so full of anger, and it is. It's bubbling right beneath the surface. That's why people
hung out with me.
Yeah, and you were troubled.
I'm always troubled.
You were a nice guy, but you were also like, infuriating.
you're my best friend, so obviously I'm troubled.
I know, that's...
that's very troubling.
That's scary. You know what I did this week? I went into Ray's thing, and I was like, all right. I was trying to figure out how to do that thing where you're like Tukey does when Cardiff and OJ are off camera but still able to talk. And it turns out it's a setting that Ray has to change, and I can't explain it to Ray. It'll just never happen. So I told Ray.
I got to unblock these people. We'll unblock these people.
Okay. So I told Ray, I'm like, Ray, I'm going to be in your stream, but like, don't acknowledge me. I'm going to be trying stuff out, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm going through the settings, and he keeps bringing me onto his stream with that poor Asian. What is she, Japanese?
Korean. You're wrong.
Korean,
you're
sorry. Wrong. So you kept bringing me in, and I didn't know I was in there, and it was all just crazy. And I had specifically told you, nah, I'm just going to be tinkering. But which brings us, so you thought you had a chance with her, huh?
No, she's... I
no, come on. You thought you had a chance with her. Don't lie.
What? I didn't. No, I wasn't. Hey, put it this way. Have a chance.
Until
with her
she came life. Out and she has the the herpes.
Oh, I thought it was the black guy thing.
It's the same thing, right, Spears? Tomato, tomato, right?
Our whole chat is people saying they're blocked. Wait, Dominic Sin, what did you say? I'm not really... I'm sorry. Dominic Sin says, Carlos skips all my witty remarks. Free speech is dead. Free speech is dead. It's all corporate. That BG is very distracting, Carlos. What does that mean? What's a BG?
Your background.
Oh, sorry. I apologize. I'm watching it more than Ray. You said Brennan was your best friend.
Yeah, he was, and then this week happened. That was my second best friend. You're my first best friend. You just moved up a notch.
JT says, wait, she has the herp. Wasn't that, didn't you guys talk about that on the show?
Yeah, we did. She was very honest about it. Oh, no, dude, honestly, she's gorgeous. She's attractive, but, and no, yeah, obviously, if a situation came up where she was into me, like, yeah, I'd be thrilled, but was I expecting that? No, not at all. But yes, of course, if she was into me, I'd be excited. But yeah,
then Brian, if you were Kevin Brennan, would you have kicked Ray off MLC for doing Hackamania?
I mean,
even though, like, it, you know, it being said that Kevin first apparently gave a blessing and then changed his mind,
I would have known not to go. And I'll say this: I loved Pat Dixon on the Saturday night shows. I didn't understand why he didn't give Pat as much of a hard time until recently as he's been giving Ray. But yeah, I never would have said yes, just knowing Kevin changes his mind every day.
Right. And yeah. I think if I was, I can,
and
if
I love Kevin Brennan,
I would have fired Ray for, especially after Melton came on and belittled
you. That was
you.
A big thing for me. Like,
Dixon,
I don't,
he should take back. Dixon's the one that hurts.
I know, but I have to say, hey, if Ray's guilty, so is Pat. You got to be fair.
There's no fairness.
There's no fairness. I mean, he did say they could all go, and there was no problem.
Diddy Mao.
Hey, who's that? Mark Norman? Tell him to shut the fuck up, Ray. We're doing a broadcast here.
Yeah, I got 5 minutes. And I got to
go. Who's that guy? Here we go. Dang Lizard. Spears, how do Kevin's balls taste like?
You're right. I'm a ball washer. I love Kevin Brennan. I don't like anyone else in this world.
Stealth Chaos. Ray is a disciple of Joe List. Herpes is obligatory. FKA Mommy says, DD now. All right, Ray. We're at the 45-minute mark. We're ending anyway. All good right. Luck tonight.
I love everybody.
I know you do, Ray. See you soon. All right. That was Ray DeVito. Ladies and gentlemen, so I thought we'd have a little Ray bashing, right? That's good for the ratings. I don't know. I can't speak about Ray anymore. So anyway, all right, that's all I got, Brian. I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add. I was half listening there at the end, but I do get. I think if I was Kevin, I would have told Ray to. What is it? Chick Rocks.
Listen, I mean, again,
especially after paying him $9,000, well, and it's like, dude, thing. I would expect you to. To be loyal.
Kevin wants loyalty. He's not asking for it, but he sort of expects it. And, you know, I get it.
In a weird, psychotic way, yeah.
And he is sort of, you know.
The man's hero from Platoon is Barnes. Not Elias, it's Barnes.
So I mean, get it. I get it. He's not, you know, if he was stable, I wouldn't be listening to him. You know what I mean? Like all this, but I knew right away. I never would have said yes to it in the first place.
Right.
Like it wouldn't have had to go to make a decision. I just would have known. It's just not good. Like eventually it's going to, he's going to change his, this could have all happened the day before Ray got on the plane.
Wait, we got FKI Mammy sexually harassing me. Carlos, how much to take your shirt off? You first. Wait, I'm skipping super chats, they're saying. Beloved chatter for $1.99. Sorry, how much to have Ray do his plugs? Hi, Carlos. Dang Lizard. Hey, Ray, how long to your next victim? I apologize. I was doing this myself, and I didn't see these. And I saw Peter Sky Parker's because that popped up. Dang Lizard again. Ray doesn't care about the money. He lives off roadkill. The other thing about MLC, that like the Melton feud, it does bum me out because I think those, I've said it a million times, I think those guys are so similar. They're both really funny when they're really angry. But I guess it comes down to it. I was saying this to OJ the other day. When you look back at Atlantic City, what was Patrick Melton doing at Atlantic City? He was putting on Twitter, hey, everybody, if you're here at the blah, 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 we'll be at this bar. Come say hi. Like very social, you know what I mean? Arranging a meetup. And then Kevin, what does he do when he gets there? The first thing he does, gives everybody the finger.
Well, that's after being, hours late to going in the right. Last possible time he can go in.
And I guess that explains the difference between the two of them. But how do you not love Kevin Brenner for doing that, you know? I'm like Ray. At this point, I just love everybody. We did have, did I ever play for you the time Joe the producer shit on us?
No.
This was way back, yeah, because Brian, we haven't done this in forever because we essentially stopped on New Year's Eve, right? We're not really, this podcast is sort of on hiatus, as and you can tell why. But yeah, so we did the Hackamania reader poll thing.
Yes.
That we stole from Spurgtopia. We stole it from Lance.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a response to it. This is just kicking around. This will be the last thing I'll do, and then we'll call it a night. But it's interesting what happens here.
Hold on. Everybody calm down. Julie, this is Vince's evil twin. Julie, is it true that Rob Saul said that the Shuli Network didn't win anything in the Insufferable Bastards contest because you couldn't buy the... That is 100% true. If anybody knows, it's Rob Saul. He's got his ear to the ground, and he knows.
So, it's because normal people don't give a fuck about that shit.
Well, I mean...
It's already winning. You know?
He got his ear to the ground because he passed out about an hour ago.
It's hard jerking off.
Let me get this straight. A show that gets 500 viewers is saying that we're not good at podcasting.
Well, you were right.
So, like, Shuli's cool about it. Bob is cool about it. Mike Morse insults Rob Saul. It was just a reader's poll. But Joe goes for the numbers. And one thing I realized, like, yesterday or the day before, I think my problem with Joe, I've never been able to. I mean, aside from, like, the anti-police stuff, the yelling at old ladies and the whole pulling out a gun on your neighbor and all that kind of weirdness. I mean, that's fine. But I think he thinks... Like he is, for whatever success the Shuli Network has, I think he thinks in his mind that he's as responsible as Shuli, as Bob Levy, and the other guy. And I think it just dawned on me. I had an epiphany, and I was like, oh my God, this guy thinks like the show would somehow not continue without him. I mean, hey, I'm glad the guy has that job, and it's probably a dream job for him, and now he's gainfully employed, which is great for him. But it's like, wow, the arrogance of that statement to bring up 500 views would be great. I wish we were getting 500 views. But anyway, it just made me realize what a needy dick that guy is. So, all right, let me make sure before we say goodbye, we're not ripping anybody off, not grifting like Cardiff does. Joe is garbage, we're saying. One of the worst in the Dabbleverse. Tampolytic Converters, the great Tampolytic Converters. By the way, I don't believe Minji has herpes, just trying to keep Ray away. Yeah, he's lying too. He said on a show, and you could tell
The minute she turned him down, his eyes sunk, his demeanor changed. He was totally hitting on her.
Franklin Sheckler says they succeed.
Ray seems to fall in love right away with any girl he meets, like, and especially gets on the podcast. That's his way of dating.
I don't see what else is going on here. Sketty Tooth John likes the frog. Yeah, everyone is entitled to their opinion. Shuli and Joe were so unlikable. I don't find Shuli that unlikable, to be honest with you.
I do. I 100% agree with this.
Well, you're one of those old Stern guys that, big part of the audience or whatever part of the audience never likes Shuley. Chris Mack, producer Joe wants to fight Stuttering John, right? I have no idea. I think he challenged him to an MMA match, right? Yeah, maybe. That stuff's got to end, all the fighting and all that stuff. And I don't know. The chat is going is too fast. I can't keep up with it. Something about more Glengarry Glenn Ross drops, somebody said. Jeff Closer. Yeah, I was trying to do that last night. And I did have like a little weird encounter with Joey C. I mean, I was trying to bring on this dude, what is it, Terbs McGurk, I think his name is. And he said some disparaging things about Joey C online. But also, he was on Ray once before, and he was pretty level-headed, and they had like a little debate about criminal records and all that kind of stuff. So I tried to bring him on last night to, because Ray was like, I mean, the show was, to me, was struggling. Like, this one is right now. That was Ray's whole thing, because like Joey C was in a car. Did you see any of Rock Bottom? You might not have saw it last night.
No, I did not watch it last night.
But then Joey C was going off about how I like threw him under the bus, or I made up something. He said I wasn't telling the truth. In his previous appearance, at the end of it, we were just talking. It was me, Terry Nee was there, Ray was there, and this was after the stream ended. And I asked him how many people were at Tampa, because this was like a day or two after the WATP Revenge of the Cyst crossover there. And Ray said, I mean, Joey C said 80 people. He said, 80. I think it was about 80 people. And I guess he was on last night saying that he never said that. And I just want to say, like, for the record, that's what he said. I'm not saying, like, why would I make that up? Because, like, you know, I like Cardiff Electric, even though he's an asshole. I wouldn't, you know, I have no problem with WATP. Why would I go around? Because I think I went on other streams and said that. Why would I go around and use a false number? It's what he said. The whole reason I remember that he said 80 people was because I was like, that's low. That's shockingly low and probably not right, because I always qualified it too. I was just saying that's what Joey C said. So anyway, I just wanted to clear that up real fast. And here's some Glengarry Glenn Ross
audio. You stupid fucking cunt.
That's a good one.
And the three of you guys, you pull one thing, you're out of this game. Now I run a clean game here. I have any trouble, I'll suspend you. I'm listening to a fucking song!
That was a slap shot. Chris Mack, I was tripping balls watching like the second half of that last night. It was wild. Yeah, it was pretty good. Anyway, Carlos, don't be bullied by loser Joey C. No, I don't think I was being bullied. I was just sort of surprised. Frank Lacheca, where's the clip of him saying 80? I thought, I said last night that I taped it. I did go and look today. I don't have it taped. I thought I was recording because I had to cut up other stuff, but I don't have it, unfortunately. Sorry, Franklin Scheckler. Anyway, that's it. I got nothing else. Go see the original Roadhouse. Good luck. God bless. I think maybe OJ and the Potato might be going live, and of course, Kevin Brennan, I think, will go live at some point. So for Brian Spears, my name is Carlos Danger. For the purposes of this broadcast, thank you so much to everyone who was here, to everyone who was chatting. We'll see you next time.